Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Epps, Crypto Bay J, Mike McGoy.
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
Hey, hey, everybody.
How y'all doing? You guys sweating out here? It's hot.
I'm staying in the air conditioning department right now. Feeling pretty comfortable. I actually have a hoodie on. The listeners can't see that I have a hoodie on. That's how cozy I am right now. There's always a lot going on in the space.
It's hot in the space right now.
We just ended the month. We're in the last month of the quarter, and I guess we should just talk about the elephant in the room.
What's really hot right now? What's really hot?
The elephant in the room.
It's the elephant for you.
The elephant in the pants. This is
Wait, which one is it?
Okay, maybe I should cover it.
Yeah, that's why the reason why we couldn't do the show without Crypto Bay J was we couldn't have three guys talking on the podcast about this topic. So take it away.
Listen. All right. So Vitalik Buterin's D-Print took Twitter by storm this week, guys. I mean, so many people were having deep conversations about, is this guy hard? Is he semi, you know, like just all types of, analysis work done on this print. Which of course quickly turned into a meme, right? This is the reason why Ethereum has gone up this week. There was a bump in price. What are some of the other memes that you saw this week, guys?
It's what did they say? It's a hard fork, definitely. Or
that was good.
There's quite a few. There's some merge memes.
This was a very unassuming photo. I mean, it just looked, you know, the Asian woman next to him. She's kind of putting up her two-piece signs and it looks very innocent, but he just got caught out there, you know, I guess. His pants are very soft though. He wears soft pants.
So was this not Photoshopped or
no? It was Photoshopped. I'm pretty sure it was Photoshopped.
You think it's Photoshopped?
Yeah. If you zoom in, you can see like the scaling pause.
Zoom in. That was another meme. You gotta zoom in.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That was good.
Or zoom out.
If you zoom in, you can see like the background from this weird magic marker. They used to elongate it.
Yes,
it probably came from something. It makes sense
because like we have the merge coming up. It seems very like a marketing thing to do. You know what I mean?
6%. But like right after it went up 6% ETH. Like literally, like within an hour after that shit leaked, or not leaked, it came out.
It was a good pump.
Yes.
Highlighted.
Yeah, so you think it was a marketing strategy, Crypto Bay?
I think it's a big, I mean, people, the way that our PR and our news cycle works, I don't really believe anything's on accident. I mean, or just a random coincidence. Like even when Nick Cannon, I think, was the last person whose print made the big screen recently, like something else was happening with him too, like with his show. So it was just kind of like, huh, this is so oddly timed. And we're in Hollywood. So
I think he's had two babies since then too.
Right. Nick Cannon was trying to buy NBC, man.
Yeah.
He's strongly branding himself with all these goddamn babies. I don't know what he plans to do with that in the future, but maybe he has, you know,
decentralized cannon. Decentralize the whole network. Yeah. It's perfect.
I feel that. He's definitely setting up some blockchains, but he's gotta have a lot of ledgers to take care of All of those cannons.
Yeah.
All of the, mm-hmm. all of those wallets he's creating.
That's a lot of wallets.
So
I think it was probably someone knows that it's gonna pump Ethereum in general, whoever made it.
Right.
And like, you know, just the like it was funny to retweet and see or share. But also, like, I think everyone kind of knows subconsciously, like, oh, this is great for Ethereum.
Yeah.
And so that implicit bias, too, just makes it go up at 6% then.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ethereum has been pretty healthy in the merge. So the timing is great. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Ethereum Foundation dudes made the meme and released it right, you know, the week before the merge fully starts to finalize, which is the 10th to the 20th next week.
Right.
So it's... I don't know. It'd be great. That's a great sign.
This is his long term brand to, you know, his long term arc to be a sex symbol. This is how it starts.
Yeah, so long term. Yeah.
And now you say that now that with that video, that new video of him rapping and dancing, there's a new one now that came out like a few days beforehand. I was like, wait, this isn't the same thing. No, he did the same exact thing, and it's even more cringy, better this time.
Right. So speaking of the 10th to the 20th, on the 15th, there's supposed to be something involved with this Mt. Gox situation. Chris, do you know a little bit about that?
I keep forgetting that's happening. Yeah, Mt. Gox was hacked when I had started in crypto. Like actually like getting interested in it and not just knowing about it. They are releasing a bunch of coins that the Fed has locked up for almost, you know, it's five to six years now. And they're releasing them, I believe. I don't know the full details how, but I know right now that the worry is that there'll be a lot of Bitcoin on the market and the market's down.
Right.
So it's going to tank the market even more.
Right.
You know, that was the worry when the news came out that the Fed will be releasing them soon. The Feds will.
Yeah.
But
I saw that Japan was connected to this situation. Are they in any type of legal? I have to go back and look at the document that I saw.
I recently learned that back in the day there was like tainted Bitcoins. There was a such thing. So that's and you know, I'm newer to this space, so I didn't even know that this concept existed. So does this fall under the tainted Bitcoin category?
No, it would be just they were locked, the wallet was locked. The Bitcoins will be I mean, they'll be somewhat tainted, you know, if you just look at the wallet and see like, oh, this was in a Mt. Gox wallet. Or the hacker's wallet, whoever stole all the Bitcoin from there. But it's not the same as like, yeah, when you get, when you have coins, it happens a lot to stable coins now too, where they can mark them or mark coins in an Ethereum wallet as tainted or blacklisted because each coin is identifiable. Or like since the transaction of that coin, it's identifiable. And then some places won't accept them or you can be watched. But no, these will be just Bitcoin that's been locked up for, you know, almost half a decade.
Interesting. Do you know how many coins it is?
I don't remember. It is a lot. I mean, it's a good amount, but it's a good amount for any person, regular person. I think right now it's going to be the perfect buying opportunity.
Yeah.
For a lot of whales, especially like after the initial dump that might happen when it comes out, because there's going to be people who need the money.
Right.
Who want the money.
Speaking of whales,
Wait, hold on. Let's not just be blunt past what Chris just said here.
Okay.
He's expecting a huge dump in Bitcoin because of this Mt. Gox feature.
A huge dump.
Significant.
We're already at 720. So, I mean, where does that take us from there? Right? Yeah. That gets us around 1311 where we were talking about this thing can go.
Are you just, you're just randomly projecting that it's going to, that gets us like,
now we know where Mike wants to buy it. Yeah,
exactly.
Now we know exactly where Mike's bids are.
Yeah, we know where his bids are. 1333, I'm sure.
Jeez. I'm just saying, like, you know, we can't just speed bump the fact that they're about to dump like what, basically like $500 million worth of Bitcoin onto the market. And of course, people are going to sell those immediately.
Yeah,
man, for sure.
I don't imagine it being a lot of whales doing the selling, though. They might make it look like they are, or they might, you know.
But that's the thing. We don't know how many are getting dumped at once. And that's the big question.
That was another thing I thought it was vested.
Right. But so here's, but that's why I brought it up too in conjunction with the Ethereum merge, because I wonder how that's going to play in conjunction. You know, obviously the thought process behind most people is that after the merge or during the merge, Ethereum will pump. But with this dump of Bitcoin, is that going to be so? Because they usually move in tandem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. That's actually now that you mentioned that, that makes me kind of more bullish on Ethereum.
The flippening. So is this the beginning of the flippening,
Chris? No, it's bad luck. It's a very far fetched idea.
Yeah, bad luck to say that.
So
it's
going to be 140,000 Bitcoin total.
Yeah. See, I was thinking it's 150. I knew I was close.
So let me go around the room. Which one? What do you guys? Do you guys believe in the flipping? Crypto BJ, do you believe in the flipping?
No, not anytime. I don't think even within the next 10 years, to be honest. That's how I feel.
Okay, Chris.
I believe it would take 10 years.
But do you believe in it? Do you believe
I believe in anything. No, I don't. That's a lie. I believe that it would happen if
I don't know. You don't know?
I want to say yes, but I also want to be reasonable. Yes, I think it could happen. I think it will happen.
Right, but he's asking, is it going to happen right now?
Don't know.
Your word.
Right, not right now. And Mike, what do you think?
I think it could be decoupling right now.
Mike, what do you think?
This could be a good decoupling from that constant trace of Bitcoin.
But Chris, you and I both know that can't happen because they're all coupled and tied to the same thing. They're tied to the same trading pairs, which is the real reason why these two can't decouple. So do I believe that there's going to be a flipping, more people utilizing Ethereum than Bitcoin? Yes, that makes perfect sense, especially at some point, especially after the merger. It's just about, I would probably say the next 2 years.
Okay.
Is Ethereum a hard money?
Even better question.
Ether is going to become harder as soon as the burn starts, right?
It's going to become harder, huh?
Pause. Shout out to fucking Vitalik. This is about to be harder. Like, what is it? Ultrasound money is Bitcoin. And then once Ethereum starts burning and deflating, then it should be ultrasound money is what Bankless
got. I want to hear what Mike has to say about it.
Well, I believe that Chris is right. And I think I do see it going that way, but there are also so many other Ethereum based coins that I think are going to do very well as well. So, I mean, like, yes, I see it happening. I mean, ETH, I view ETH right now as hard money, to be honest with you. My daughter's, you know, portfolio is in ETH only for that same reason alone, because this is not going anywhere, right? We all know that. It's just going to be about where it fluctuates up and down. And look, if we're watching, because, you know, it's almost like the silver to gold, where it's like they are dually connected, and we can't say that they're not. Everything on the chart says that they are for the last like 2 years damn near.
Yeah.
And tell me
about that with silver and gold. Are silver and gold coupled?
Yeah, because the same people buy it. And they're tied to the same trading pairs, right? And so, you know, like last recession, gold doubled from 1100 to 1950. 1975 intraday. Silver quadrupled from $11 to $49 per ounce. And if you look at the chart, they were moving at the same times for the most part.
Right.
Because they're brother and sister metals. And I believe that Ethereum and Bitcoin have a similar relationship. And this is really unfortunate because I we all need Ethereum to decouple from Bitcoin so right. we can see a 5,000, 10,000 Ethereum.
Yeah. Unless we're getting
but they have
200,000 Bitcoin.
But they have different communities though.
Exactly. That my reason that's the exactly right. Everything about them fundamentally is different.
Yeah.
Except the people betting on this shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they have in common.
That's what they have in common.
Yeah.
The people who are speculating these two projects mm-hmm. have them tied hand in hand.
Yeah.
Which sucks for us. They're even leveraged together.
Oh yeah.
Right. So until yeah. that decouples, then I mean we're going to continue to see them moving in tandem, which again sucks for and Ethereum.
And that's why I don't see the flipping happening anytime soon because of the leverage. right. People are leveraging in tandem, and until that stops, which is seemingly never, I don't see the foresee that happening. Yeah, I think they are going to move in tandem. I think we'll get an $80,000 to $120,000 Bitcoin, and we'll get about Ethereum might hit $8,000 or $9,000. But how will it hold? You know, and that's the thing. That's the other thing about this market that I've kind of been thinking about lately in terms of price action and things like that. You know, these all-time high prices that we project. It's nice if it hits that price. You know, Bitcoin was in the 60s a couple of times, the first time, but a lot shorter than the second. But I mean, how much over the scale of time does that really matter? Like, not really a whole lot if it can't hold that price or anywhere in that range. If Ethereum reaches 9,800 one day, but you know, it can't hold that range, what good does it do anybody except for the leverage traders? So I don't know, just a thought. In other news, Mike, the most interesting story to me this week, I mean, I can't put it off any longer. I just can't. I'm so fascinated by this Richard Hart, Ben Baller interaction. It's everything I've ever wanted. It's everything I've ever dreamed. Because it's two guys who I don't really like love like that, but I find both of them entertaining. I followed Ben Baller for a very long time. You know, I shot an advertisement for him last year. You know, he's obviously, you know, been in my neighborhood and in the Slauson Swap Meet for a long time. Like, you know, I don't really know him like that, but again, I've just observed him. Dom knows him. My cousin knows him, has bought jewelry from him. But he does have some clown ways, you know what I'm saying? And that's just a part of his character, part of his persona, I should say. And Richard Hart, you know, the ultimate stuntastic, flossy, you know, check out my watch list, check out my car list, check out my outfit type nigga. Like they're the two of the same type of animal from like different sides of the fucking planet. You know what I'm saying? It's like a polar bear meeting a black bear, like, you know? So now they're on Twitter. They met on Twitter by chance. I guess Ben Baller was talking about somebody's watch. He heard somebody said they had the most expensive Rolex, and like a fucking bat signal in the air, Richard Hart came running and replied to his tweet. And then they went back and forth, and they're literally at this moment going back and forth.
Literally at this moment, like at this very started, yeah. I was looking at the Richard Hart videos.
Oh yeah, very moment, Richard Hart, I think, is technically in the lead right now because he's blasting Ben Baller for basically promoting sports gambling as like selling. He's Ben Baller selling picks through a company with Michael Rapaport, which is just insane. Richard Hart got a hold of this information and is convincing to ether Ben Baller in the way that he does everybody, right, in the crypto space, and, you know, just kind of how he behaves himself. But Ben Baller has the same type of ethos in the way that he deals with people. You know, oh, your car don't have these specs. I got these type of rims and this type of fucking, you know, whatever, exhaust, all of this shit. So, yeah, I love it. Mike, have you been watching as closely as me or
not really, because I know why he's doing it. Yeah. And, you know, I understand the strategy. His whole thing is trying to bring eyeballs and attention to his products. And yeah. He genuinely believes that he can do so by targeting certain specific communities.
Yeah.
And one of the first communities that he targeted was the watch community, the luxury watch community. And so, you know, the first thing I ever heard about him, yeah. Someone literally referred to him as the guy with 3 million and spinning watches behind him on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is how I first heard about him.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's like the same description. The guy in the molten and everything is Gucci on him and around him or something like that. I'm like, oh, God.
Right. Right. And so, you know, it, listen, man, he does this for a reason. I actually saw a decent interview with Jay Waller with him, and he was just talking about how he does this shit to appeal to a certain demographic. Once he gets the eyeballs, he hopes to then convert them to his platform and to his ways of thought, to his products, because he genuinely believes that he has some of the better products in the space. Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting strategy. I mean, yeah. We all don't agree with it. You know, that's not necessarily me and how I operate as a man, but
yeah.
I definitely understand it. And if you actually closely listen to him, he really tells you that you really like this shit is clown shit.
Yeah.
And you know, he does it as a clown show.
Yeah. No, he's got a little bit of 6ix9ine in him. And not in a bad way, but just like the way that 6ix9ine.
How could that be a good way?
No, it can't be. It is very, but I'm saying he's a bit of a clown. Like the way that he exhibits himself is a bit of a clown. The way that you yeah. said, and I guess it isn't technically a good way. It's not. The way you're saying, like, you wouldn't conduct yourself as a man like that. Like personally, you know, you wouldn't do it for any amount of money, right? Just because that's not your code, like in how you are, you know what I'm saying, within yourself. And I feel the same way. Like I wouldn't behave like that for any amount of money if I had any amount of money, just because that's not how, you know, I am within myself. But he sees the end game to it, and you know, like he's willing to play this character to achieve his goal, which, you know, Mike, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what he's doing, and that's exactly the game that he's playing. To my amusement, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. You know, I'm not fully converted as like, oh, I want to buy Hex or Pulse or whatever, but I'm converted on, like, I was very skeptical on Richard Hart's character. Is it somebody I would enjoy because I think his outfits are ridiculous? But I'm thoroughly, after seeing his Twitter and just starting to like watch him talk and stuff, I definitely thoroughly enjoy him as a character. And I also enjoy Ben Baller. Like, I think Ben Baller is a hell of an entertaining character. I've always enjoyed watching him do his thing. I think his jewelry is amazing. You know, he's a dope creative. So, like, I thoroughly enjoy Ben Baller. But he also has some clownery to his, you know, persona. And that's pretty much what, you know, Richard Hart is, quote unquote, exposing at this moment by talking about his willingness to sell gambling picks, which is kind of scummy. Selling gambling picks is, like, really, like, bottom barrel. Like, come on, bro. Like,
is that worse than selling gold at 300% markup to people who have no idea
who's doing that?
Anyone who's selling,
anyone that's buying from If and Co. I mean, you're literally buying gold at 300% markup.
Oh, right.
And you're buying 14 karat, which is technically like 46%
mm-hmm.
purity.
Yeah.
So it's cut basically in half, and then they're charging you triple.
Right. Yeah, I don't listen.
They ran me out of there quickly. and the thing is, I walked up telling, hey, just so you know, I'm not trying to, like, I'm not the gotcha guy, right? Right. So it's like, hey, I'm a gold broker.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I'm very pretty familiar with the process and the rates. And so anyway, you know, I would love to pick something up. They start quoting me things, and I'm like, this is literally like three times the price of spot price of gold today.
Yeah, this
only 14 karat.
You're like the Harvard graduate that comes to sit at the blackjack table, and they're like, "Sir, can you leave, please?"
Yeah, quiet. Like, lower your voice when you're talking about this right now.
Like, yeah, you can't come back. Yeah. So no, I mean that's their hustle, that's their game. My grandfather has a great phrase that I've heard him say over years, but I've been talking to him a lot recently. He loves to say that people are hustling dollars, that companies are hustling dollars, and you know, that's what Ben Baller does. He hustles dollars. Yeah. But speaking of gold purchases, Mike, I actually wanted to ask a question. So I recently, Dom gave me this ring for my birthday. Got it resized. Just picked it up from Jason.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. That was a couple months ago now. Months ago. You know, I have a little chain as well. But I was wondering, like, you know, just thinking in terms of my, like, new kind of mindset of saving and, you know, wanting to buy property and other things and just
don't being... invest. Saving is bad.
Well, like, saving to invest.
Yes.
Cause I'm thinking now, like, oh, if I wanted to buy another piece of jewelry, let's say I wanted to buy a Cuban chain or a Cartier bracelet or something like that. Like, I'm thinking, what would be a realistic amount of money that you think somebody should have before they make that type of purchase?
I can't answer that. That's preference.
It is, but I'm saying, like, as somebody who buys and sells gold, like, would you then say, I wouldn't do that, and I would rather spend that money on actual gold?
No, because I feel like it's also, you know, a good investment, especially at the right time. Gold right now needs $1,700 per ounce. So you really can't lose, especially recessions. Again, it's known to double. So, mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately you can't lose with that. But no, it's not a bad time, especially for jewelry.
Yeah.
Some people have that. They'll say, like, you should make like four times the amount, you know, shouldn't exceed a certain amount of your spending money or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Kind of like,
I don't adhere to those, you know, and I never had, even like as a previous financial advisor for 4 years, actually, like, I still never adhered to those cookie cut, you know, fucking Dave Ramsey, like, cut out, you know, ways of saving, because everyone is different.
Right. But that's why, I guess, if I was a client, or just, you know, even as a friend or an audience member that's listening, like, what is your personal feeling on, like, just jewelry purchases and, like, trying to come up? Like, you're on your come up, basically, but you have a slight interest in jewelry, or maybe even, like, you know, extra car or something. Like, what do you think?
So I would stay away from diamonds. I'd say that first and foremost. But you know, what really impresses me, even as someone that does this, really is the 24 karat, you know, like, I guess it's kind of referred to as Asian gold that you see people wearing, whether it's the necklaces or the rings. I mean, it really doesn't get better than that. And, you know, ultimately it's a walk-in investment, because you'll never pay less, or you'll never receive less.
Yeah,
than what you actually bought it for,
right?
At any point of view on it. So,
yeah,
I would start there. You know, me personally.
Yeah.
And there is no real budget. You know, $5,000-$10,000. It's up to you, really. Ultimately, right. Because again, you're just kind of parking that $2,000, that $4,000 on your, you know, pinky, or, you know, parking that $10,000, that $15,000 on your your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, you know, chain culture is pretty big in the Black community, obviously, with our celebrities, whether it's athletes or, you know, obviously the rappers and most musicians, a lot of musicians, I won't say most. But then it's interesting the ones that don't, you know, because you look at the actors, a lot of the acting community, they don't wear a lot of chains or, you know, like big jewelry, so to speak. And so it's interesting the dynamics of celebrity wealth and how people choose to exhibit it. And just like, you know, niggas also just buying like
$20,000 chains, big ass Cubans. Everybody has that same like choker. I don't know why when niggas fell in love with chokers as men. Like,
hey, yo, it's 2022, bro.
I'm not even trying to be sexist. I'm just saying in general, like, I don't know when men started to love that. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, I just don't think it looks great on a lot of people personally. That's just a personal, you know, I don't care like what your preference is, who you kiss at night, like whatever, do your thing. I don't think the chain looks hard. That's it. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. You know, I was just kind of curious because Mike is our precious metals expert. And
speaking of, what's up with palladium play? Is that still a play? Mike,
I'm not touching that. Palladium moves too fast. And look, ultimately, I shouldn't be saying this, but we're going to see gold to continue to go down. Gold and silver, especially as they continue to raise interest rates.
Yeah.
Fed was very clear about that, even at Jackson Hole, which was the little meeting of the minds. It was basically like an Illuminati meeting where they get together and decide what's going to happen moving forward. The Fed was very clear that their number one concern is to tackle inflation. Right. And to do so, they only have one method, one bullet in the chamber,
right,
which are the interest rates.
Yep.
So they're going to continue to inflict pain onto the American people. And they higher interest rates,
and they said as much, right? That's kind of what's been.
And they said as much.
That's kind of
what they said as much, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, higher interest rates are good for U.S. dollars. The U.S. dollar basically is the tallest midget amongst all the other currencies that are devaluing at an even faster rate.
Right.
And so, a stronger dollar is bad for gold because gold is calculated in U.S. dollars.
Right.
In other countries, the gold prices are different, but in U.S. dollars, with them being strengthened, this is going to be bad for the price of gold. So we're going to see it drop a little bit further, gold and probably silver. Platinum's been holding on and doing very well, actually. I just realized I put a client in platinum literally probably like 7 months ago, and their positions haven't moved, even though silver and gold are down at least 20-25% respectively.
Wow. Yeah, to be in something that's stable in this type of economy is very impressive, actually.
Right. And so platinum continues to be, not a breakout metal, but it's just it's a metal that's holding its value right now. Crypto Bay, what's up?
Who decides that gold is put in under U.S. dollars? Like, is that the IMF? Who decides that?
That's a good question. And so every country has their own gold prices and their own currencies. So the price of gold in America is not like the same price of gold in Russia or the price of gold in Brazil.
So there's a forex of gold and silver or metals?
I mean, I guess, yeah. Well, to answer it more directly, there's the Chicago's Futures Exchange where they trade all the commodities. Mm-hmm. The part that sucks is they allow paper and leverage to be utilized in these markets, which kind of takes away from you holding a tangible commodity. If you can just 3D print up 20 more of the same thing, it then makes it worth a lot less, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with the papers market. And so, you know, you have some people who say that for every gold ounce purchased, there's, I believe, 20 through like 35 different paper ounces of gold written out for that same ounce.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, you're a large investment bank, you can actually manipulate the price however you want.
A large investment bank, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
And to add to that, JP Morgan and Chase just got caught. They got caught a long time ago. They officially got fined for doing what's called spoofing, which is basically just putting in a whole bunch of fake buy or a whole bunch of fake sell orders at the beginning of the market to jump the price either direction and trade against it. Real dirtbag shit.
Yeah. So speaking of getting in trouble with federal regulators, Michael Saylor
is in the hot seat this week.
He is over taxes.
Got to pay the tax man. What do they say? Death and taxes.
Got to pay the troll toll.
Yeah, Uncle Sam won
the
his.
The troll toll.
That's it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
But yeah, I mean, he's disputing it. I get they didn't arrest him, right?
Mm-mm.
No,
just accused him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. So he's been accused of not paying Uncle Sam, I'm sure, it's a significant amount of money, and he's basically saying they're wrong. So this will be an interesting saga. I don't really know much more about it other than that that's what came across the wire. But you know, when one of the biggest Bitcoin maxis gets whacked on the wrist by the government, or at least like you know, acknowledged in the public sphere, it's the cause for maybe, if not concern, just keep an eye on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how that's how I feel about it.
He can easily just go somewhere else, because isn't that what billionaires do? They just go somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's the funny thing about him is that he's always, I mean, I've only seen him on Zoom, so it's like he seems like a Lex Luthor, like he's traveling the world on his boat anyway. So I didn't even know that he was in America. Like if somebody told me he wasn't American, I wouldn't even been surprised at that. Like, I don't know if he's from fucking British Columbia or some shit. I don't really know that much about Michael Saylor, you know. Like, I know MicroStrategy and he's late to Bitcoin and now he's the biggest maxi. Like that's pretty much the long and short of, like, you know.
Yeah.
He hasn't done the laser eyes. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he hasn't done the laser eyes. I saw in an article that like they were had like photos from his Facebook account, like when he took a photo of a house in DC and was like, oh, I can't wait to buy this home or something like that. And then they have photos of him like in Florida saying like, oh, this is my home. So they're trying to like piece that together and say, well, he owns a property in Florida, he owns a property in DC. Like, has he been, you know, let's see if he's paid taxes on these properties, and like trying to piece all that together. So they all up in his back.
Pocket watching.
Pocket yeah. Watching for sure.
Yeah, it's like we talked about with like training for other people, when they only watch your pockets when things get rough. Everyone's, you know, it's kind of a little rough. I'm surprised that this happened. Because it's not a federal suit, right? You said feds are coming for him, but it's not a federal thing. It's a civil lawsuit, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't really know the details of it. Maybe you can like inform me as well as the audience.
I'm looking it up.
A little bit more.
I thought I had a link ready for it too.
Because what was the other?
DC Attorney General sues billionaire alleging income tax evasion.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Attorney General.
He's being sued by the Attorney General. This sounds like some real billions type shit.
I need to finish that show. That's a great show.
Fucking Chuck. This sounds like some Chuck Rhodes, David Axelrod type shit.
And Saylor would like to get fucking spanked or whatever that was going on too. He would be into some BDSM stuff. Yeah. I can see it.
Right.
I can see it right now. Bitcoin's the only Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the only crypto. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that shit. Okay. Well, I mean,
awesome.
I feel like
BDSM.
I feel like Saylor's going to be just fine. I think this is just what happens when you, again, trade other people's money. And you're wrong.
Right. Kind of what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, last week. But I do think that he's definitely not going to be as loud the next cycle up or whatever. He's going to just have to be silent, get his money back,
mm-hmm.
get their money back.
Sometimes you got to get ugly on these hoes. And I think that's the the wave he's going to be on is just, you know.
Hey, at least he's sticking around. Suzu and Kyle Davies are still just somewhere.
I mean, he made it through. For all intents and purposes, he made it through the cycle, you know.
Yeah,
and it's so crazy because when you think about it now, like, again, this was my first cycle, but it's almost like you're in the movie Twister. Like, yeah. You're literally in the throes of a fucking bunch of tornadoes like swirling around, like each tornado is its own shit coin, but like
was own debacle.
Yeah.
Like
and so to be able to survive like all of this shit that's taking place from the run up to the run down to the sideways turns to the everything, like, you know, he's still standing. And like we're saying, like the Doquans and the, you know, all these other people who've been arrested and disappeared and, you know, zeroed out and, you know, didn't make it, not gonna make it. So yeah, it's been interesting to see his journey, but he's still here. So we'll see. I mean, I guess we got plenty of bear market left.
Nah, don't say that. I don't think so.
Chris doesn't want to hear it. Listen,
I think you we got till December.
You're still thinking.
If you're right not now. In December when they turn the printer back on, you know, don't.
Are they going to turn the printer back on?
December.
Oh, sure. Okay, maybe.
December.
But first, they have to stop raising interest rates.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
True. Right. Yeah.
So again, they've been very clear. That's not going to stop no time soon.
Right.
Yeah. It's December. That's literally 4 years in crypto.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
4 years in crypto? I can.
Right.
Waited this long. It's already been fucking, what's this, 9 months? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Nine months of a bear. It's been a full bear market probably since like, what, Christmas, New Year's is like
I was going to say we got crash. Yeah, November of last year.
Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It was like, oh, it's going up that night. And then you woke up and you're like, oh, fuck, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, we started the downturn since then. So yeah, it's been almost a year. That's crazy.
Yeah, thank God, get it over with. I'm ready for this next cycle.
Yeah, the inevitable super cycle. Hopefully, it's coming.
No, we don't use those. We don't use any of Suzu terms or. Yeah, that sucks.
But yeah, Mike just sent something to the chat, which I saw this this post too. Said OpenSea turns into NFT ghost town after daily volume plunges 99% from peak.
I saw that too.
NFT corner. What's going on with the NFT world, guys?
NFTs are doing fine from what I've seen. I just realized that that buyer who bought the 400 ETH penguin was Jesus Christ, the guy who made Scamcoin, a friend of mine actually, who I was like in the Discord, and I was talked to this fool for a little bit. I was supposed to pick him up from LAX like a year ago. Made me like 30K. He's the one who bought that shit.
You're friends with somebody who made scam coin?
Yeah, they made scam token. I've told you guys about it. We talked about it. I think Mike might have bought some. Mike Reese or other Mike might have bought some.
Yeah.
I made friends through it, through that token. I just realized that who we talked about last week, who bought that penguin, he's who bought that. It's that guy.
Penguin.
Yeah. Wow. And that is maybe even more bullish on NFTs listening to this interview today. It was on the Stacks podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm seeing a bunch of NFT projects still going up, new stuff. There's a new game called Craft, or I don't remember. It's like a game of 100 little rafts that you're riding, like the rafts from like someone who's in an abandoned ship or like, you know, stuck on an island. I went to Quantum Art Space today in Santa Monica, which is like a gallery that has minting there, and they also feature and sell NFTs.
So they had like NFTs on the wall as like paintings and stuff, right?
Yeah, they have exhibits for artists that have already minted. They have their own exclusive stuff, and they have stuff being minted there that you can mint through your phone. Like, it's actually one of the coolest galleries I've been to ever in this space, and then also in general in art gallery since.
That's dope. Can you just go? Like, can I just go?
Anyone can go anytime. From 12 to 7 every day. Weekdays are open, and they have events at night.
What about the weekends?
I think they're open on weekends. I imagine they would be.
I'm tired of these places only being open on weekdays, and I work.
I imagine they're open on weekends. I know they just have those easy operating hours to get to.
Yeah.
They have a workspace and everything for they have their own token, which came out like 4 months ago called Quantum Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And those came out. Those came out. I forgot what the mint was. It was a little bit high, but they went to like 4 ETH and then 8 ETH for a day, and died down right now. They're at like 1.5 as of today.
Right.
Like everything. But the actual space is really cool.
Yeah, I have to check that out for sure. What's it called again?
Quantum LA.
Quantum LA, for sure. Crypto Bay Jay, you also went on an excursion recently.
Yes, I went to HackCon, which is basically a retreat for folks who want to put on a hackathon. And it was in upstate New York. It was legit at a like campsite with, you know, what's that movie that came out a long time ago?
Jason?
Where, no, not Jason, where they're on the water, like Fat Boys or something. And they have those big blow up water houses and stuff, and you jump on it and you jump, you know, you like bounce off the bounce off the bouncy house in the water and you jump into the water. Anyway, it was like a legit camp. It was
heavyweights.
I felt like I might have been heavyweights. I think that's what it is.
With Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I think that is what it is.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like 10 years old again. Because we had cabins and it had the guy's side and the girl's side, and they had not cots but wooden cots, and you know, the mattress was like, you know, I don't right. know, 2 inches thick.
right
but it was basically like 3 days of, you know, everything that you need to know in order to put together a hackathon. And there was a lot of colleges represented, because apparently these days in college there are universities all over that are doing hackathons. They were not doing that when I was in school, and I went to engineering school. So anyway, what I thought was the craziest takeaway for me was maybe there was 200 people there.
Mm-hmm.
5% or less of the population knew about Web3. Like, how are there Web3 list hackathons? I was so confused. I was in some of these conversations with people, and it took me a while to like, hold on, wait, like, what? Like, do you even know about NFTs? You know what I mean? Like, you could solve this issue doing this. And people were just like, no, I mean, I heard of it, but like, I'm like, so you are a game developer, or you are a software engineer, and like, y'all don't know anything?
Yeah.
And so then I just like put on my mama hat and just started lecturing some of these young folks, like, no, this is what you need to be doing, and you need to be getting a job in tech, and you know how many, you know how much they're looking for women in this space. Like, so right. I was going around doing all of that, but HackCon awesome. Was great. It was really, really great. This is a company called Major League Hacking. Mm-hmm. And they give folks all of the tools that they need to put something like that on.
Okay.
I also wanted to go over some NFTs with you guys.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
The top 10. Let me give you OpenSea's top 10, because I don't have one of my tools up.
Yeah.
But this Digi Daigaku is number one over the last 7 days. Digi Daigaku, which is like an anime game.
Okay. Yeah.
It was free.
Mm-hmm. It's sitting. Okay, it was free. It's sitting at 10 ETH right now, y'all. Mm.
Right.
Sitting at 10 ETH. Okay. Then we have Basie, which is sitting at 77.88 ETH. That's number two. Number three, we have the gods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Are you looking at the 24-hour OpenSea chart, or what's your
seven days?
Okay, I look at the 24-hour chart.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's look at the 7 days. Okay, the gods. Yeah, what's that? Mm-hmm. That's a soul NFT.
Solana.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like their top number one project.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a deflationary collection. And so number four, we have Clonex by Takashi Murakami. He was just had a whole flower art show here in Los Angeles. He had a whole bunch of flags on the light poles promoting his event, and Clonex is pretty popular. It's in at 6.8 ETH, which has gone down a lot.
It's a significant drop. I think this might be the lowest.
Yes,
based on the price of ETH and the price and the floor price of Clonex, this might be the lowest I've seen it since Mint.
Yeah, there's a good amount of upset people right now. because they announced a new thing. I think it's called the Forge, where it seems like you can get clothing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the complaints that I saw were that it's like unlimited. Mm-hmm. You can just keep getting the clothes and shit.
Yeah.
Or something like basically doesn't like the rarity is people aren't happy with the rarity and whatever distribution is going to be coming out of this Forge or the NFT that it comes with it.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the one right now that's 6.8. It's a little black kid. Right click save. Man, I would definitely cop this. I'm definitely gonna put this in my likes, and I'm saying that in parentheses. I will never cop an NFT for $10,000. Like if you're, I'm asking Mike about fucking money for a chain. Like I'm way less likely to spend 10 grand on an NFT than I am to fucking buy a Cuban link. But proceed.
Okay. So we have number 5 is Other Deed for Other Side, which is basically metaverse land for Yuga Labs. And this is really low, 1.74.
Big drop.
Is pretty low. Big drop. Yeah.
And that was recent because they were probably in the 3, 4, 5 range mm-hmm. for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is significant.
This is significant. Let's see, we have Woman Ape Yacht Club, mm-hmm. which is at 0.06 ETH right now, sitting there.
Well, so what's your thoughts about that project? Because I see that and I'm like, I don't even know. Is this an offshoot of Basie or is this some random person's derivative project?
It's a derivative project because it would have the a check mark, a blue check mark saying that it's authentic.
Yeah.
Wacy, empowering women in Web3. Are you feeling lonely, bored in Lonely Bored Ape Yacht Club? Meet the gorgeous women from the Women Ape Yacht Club. Women make the world even more beautiful and a happening place. Let's introduce women apes in the metaverse, blah 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 blah. I have a feeling that it's gonna go up more. I mean, at 0.06, I think just based on it being a woman ape, I think it'll go up, to be honest. I definitely see that going up. All right, I'm gonna go to the next, which is taking me a second to load up. So if you wanna
The Moonbirds.
What was next in line?
The Moonbirds are.
Oh yeah, Moonbirds.
It's a significant pump. They were down to I think 11, maybe 10.8. They're at 13.4 now. Obviously, you know their high was about 30 something, maybe even the 40s for the floor price. So they've come down significantly. Mm-hmm. I've never really looked at this project, to be quite honest with you, because I have no interest in, like, this reminds me when Chris hit on the toads. I don't like the 8-bit NFTs for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of do like the CryptoPunks, but other than that, the 8-bit design for the NFT doesn't, it's not interesting to me in terms of spending that amount of money on.
I think part of the funny part. You know, the CryptoPunks have no utility. Toads have utility, but the Moonbirds are a utility-based
mm-hmm.
project.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like made by Proof Collective, which is a big NFT mm-hmm. fund collective DAO.
Insiders.
Yeah, mm-hmm. basically a bunch of whales, you know, circle jerking each other off and finding good calls and then making sure that everyone else finds them after they found them.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that's how it goes. Mm-hmm.
PFP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if any proof collective want to buy Whales of Ether.
Yeah, shout out to
Whales of Ether. Yeah. If we get on the pod, you know.
We're always pumping Whales of
Ether,
guys.
We're always down.
Yep. Yeah. Number, 8 on the list is Art Blocks.
They feature different artists. I never really got into Art Blocks because it was a lot to keep up with. I don't know if any of you guys
Mike and Mike and Mike and Chris, they're heavily in the art blocks. That's actually, that might be their favorite project.
It was, yeah. I mentioned like some of the first mints for some of the first few ones that were big too, and kind of fell off, and then I got everyone into it.
Yeah.
About a year ago.
I think it was now, a little bit when more things than were that. Good. I think it was a little bit more than a year, but
what's this month, September?
Yeah,
we started the DAO in like August.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay, yeah. Maybe.
This is a good time right now. Around this time a year ago, we were making money off of our blocks.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Number 9 is ENS, the Ethereum name service. Yeah. I didn't really think of that as a NFT project, but I guess
NFT.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how you sell them. You right. sell them. You sell the different names via NFT. NFTs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I didn't know. NFT. Yeah.
So something must have pumped, like some theme, you know, name yeah. theme must have pumped. Like ever sometimes it's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, ever since that, it's been nonstop ENS volume on my notifications on Twitter, you know.
Yeah,
like I see the ENS mints and sales constantly on the top 10 every hour or whatever in volume and minting. And yeah, ever since there was a trend, everyone who is not aware of ENS, Ethereum naming service, we talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
And someone figured out like, oh, the number one is valuable because there's only one number one out of all these ENSs, and someone might want the number one.
Right.
And they're like, oh yeah, the first, you know, 10 numbers or the first 9 numbers without with only one digit will be valuable. And those started selling for hundreds of ETH, or, you know, a couple 10 ETH, and then became hundreds of ETH. And slowly each digit class started becoming worth something. And then, you know, of course, yeah, I think 3 digits was like where it really was like one of the big
a little breakout trends. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like everyone could get it, and it represents a lot of at least US area codes.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big speculation. And then now there's a big Arabic character market for ENSs because, you know, the Arabic keyboards and
other languages. Yeah, I think you mentioned that. Yeah, last
time. And that became a big thing, and it hasn't really died, kind of subsided.
Yeah.
But ENSs, I think, are like, we just kind of talked about this, how ENS domains are going to be something that's probably forever and a great example of NFT utility.
Yeah, number 10 on the list is Abracadabra.
Oh my God! Oh, wait, never mind.
Which is another
Solana project.
Another Sol project. Yeah, it's like kids' refrigerator drawings. It's kind of cute.
Those are always fun.
Yeah, I don't really have any, interest in that, but you know, it's cool, and I hope they're successful.
One project that I know that's new that's not on there yet that's coming out is called Ute.
Okay.
Y00T. And that's a community. You have to like apply to get into the community, which I believe will be an allow list for NFT/, you know, benefits for being in the community. They allowed 15,000 people to apply, and they have to apply with your Twitter. It's basically have some carbon footprint in the crypto market by giving them your wallet address, and then they would let you in or not. And I know that's probably gonna be something that's big. The artwork on the website looks pretty interesting, and just their activation was really good. Like, it filled up right away. Everyone was tweeting about it and put it up if they were accepted. So interested in what that's gonna be.
All right, well, shout out to Utes. Let's get to the memes portion of the show. We had some good memes this week. Obviously leading off with Vitalik and all of the boner memes of the trade analysis that they were doing on his pants. Those are some good ones. I'm trying to think. Oh, and so Crypto Bay J submitted a meme where, was this week or was it last week? Was
last week I did another one.
Well, I was gonna say, was Warren Buffett's birthday. Did Warren Buffett turn?
Oh,
yeah, he turned 92 either this week or last week. But there, the meme she submitted, it's a picture with two halves. The top half is Warren Buffett and a bunch of rich white guys laughing. And it says exchanges when you send to the wrong wallet. And then the bottom half is the like the FBI doing a raid. And it says exchanges when they refund you too much and want it back, which I forgot about that story, which is a great story. A hilarious story. This lady, she was supposed to be refunded $100 by, was it crypto.com?
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm, they, crypto.com.
Yeah, and they sent her $10.5 million. So I'm wondering, like, because I read the story, but they didn't say, like, how that specifically that happened. And I'm like, did they send her 100 Bitcoin? Like, what did they send her?
They sent the wrong decimal to her wallet.
Or right. Whatever. But I don't know how you get 10.5 mm-hmm. million out of 100.
She didn't even fucking care. She moved that shit right away and bought like a yeah. house with it.
Yeah, she bought a mansion.
Immediately, yeah. she did.
Which is smart. On her part. Yeah. yeah.
But they found out through an audit, though. So it took them several months.
Months.
To even figure it out. Yep. Months. Yeah. It's like, homeboy. I said, like, you lost the money fair and square. Like, it took y'all way too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They lost it fair money. And square in the beginning. They lost it fair and square in that first 30 seconds. I'm like, right. nah, you lost that shit fair and square. You sent me that.
Dollar. Yeah, you sent that to
if
me.
If you were a person, that's different. Yeah. But your corporation, that's off in Gibraltar.
You guys got to write that off.
Skirt. Yeah, you got to. That's. I just helped your books, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like there's another story about a guy who got sent like $70,000 by his job on accident through direct deposit, and he spent that, and I think he got convicted, and it was like. I mean, nobody thinks this is a crime except for the legal system. I mean, I feel for that lady. I think they said she gave like $500,000 to her daughter. She tried to put the house in her sister's name. Now they're trying to sue the sister or accuse the sister of the crime. Hey, man, these people did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong at all.
They didn't. And if anybody found that on the floor, nobody's reporting that.
No. So yeah. Eat the rich. Get your money. Corporate
for now.
until we become rich ourselves, then just nibble on the rich after
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'll take a little nibble.
So Chris sent a meme with what's my man's name? The guy, the rich dad, poor dad.
Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah. So he recently is basically doing an I Told You So tour on saying that the market was going to crash, but of course the internet undefeated found the receipts and was like, bro, you've been trying to call a crash since 2013. And so of course the memes ensued. Chris sent a meme with him in the middle of a bunch of quotes saying down only from here, this is it 2016, this is it 2018, this is it 2012. You know,
has successfully predicted 22 of the last three market crashes.
Yeah,
down only from here, this is it 2016. Wakes up every day, just wants to predict how the market's gonna crash. This is it.
Yeah,
2021 and 2022.
And then at the bottom is a long told you so, because he's finally right. Even a broken clock is twice a day, guys. So yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Yeah, there's plenty of market predictors. The bear market mm-hmm. and the bull market does not have a shortage of that on either side.
Never will.
Yes, yeah,
so. It's great entertainment. It's yeah. also great psyops.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Yeah, and so yeah, so to wrap up this episode, I want to give a big, huge shout out to Reverse Jim Cramer, who's actually never wrong. Inverse Jim Cramer is just
spot on, the best market. No, but I need to start.
You need to.
I need to start.
Someone has to sooner or later.
Yeah, in the new year, that might be my New Year's resolution. It's to start trading.
Leverage trading the inverse Cramer index.
Yeah.
With only
50X. Only 50X. Yeah. The inverse Cramer. Oh, my God. But they're so spot on. It's incredible.
It's like, how could you not?
Yeah, yeah. And then also shout out to the other GOAT trader, Nancy Pelosi. NVIDIA's been down. I don't know how many percentage, but Fancy Nancy, the GOAT trader of all times, gotta shout her out, man. She does her thing on the on them charts.
Yeah, I wish she would,
Just give me
pump up our stuff.
Yeah, just pump my bags, Nancy. Give me a call. Just let me know the next play. You know what I'm saying? Just whatever it is, just give me a play, baby. We just need one. We'll be. You know,
yeah, I just need a good. Year of good, like 1 year of good plays, and then yeah. I'm back in Morocco.
Exactly.
And hopefully, I get some good Wi-Fi over there because I'm not.
All right. Well, yeah, on that note, for Mike McGoy, Crypto Bay J, and Chris Epps, the Crypto Bros, I'm Jason Madison. Until next week, we out. Peace.
Peace.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.